Hello everyone, welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my great pleasure to welcome today's program, Doug Pollard, who is Sales Director, Workforce Business Unit at Quintic. And today we're going to talk about, is workforce planning the weakest link in your supply chain transformation journey? Now, one of my predictions for 2016 was that workforce planning was going to be in the spotlight this year. When you look at a lot of the areas that supply chain logistics executives have been working on over the past few years have been in other areas of supply chain planning and optimization. And really the one area that I would say has kind of been in the shadows or hasn't been a priority until now has been workforce planning. And that's becoming to create some issues for, you know, manufacturers and retailers and other companies out there in the industry. And, you know, certainly it's an area that I'm beginning to see more and more companies start paying attention to. And we're very fortunate to have Doug with us today here to share some insights and advice based on, you know, the companies that he's worked with in this area, and helping to get companies on the right path when it comes to workforce planning and optimization. I just want to remind those of you that are joining us live today that if you do have a question for Doug as we're having our conversation here, you can post it via the submit a question window. And if it's a good and appropriate question and we have time, I'll certainly weave it into the conversation. So with that, Doug, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Doug, you know, you're a first-time guest here on Talking Logistics, and, you know, whenever we bring a new guest on board, I always just like to get a little bit of understanding of their background and kind of what their role and responsibilities are now at their current company. So why don't we start there really very briefly? Why don't you tell us a little bit about kind of your career path, you know, how you ended up there at Quintic and focusing on workforce planning, and then we'll dive into the conversation.
Sure. Great. So, you know, the last 20 years or so has been majority spent within sales and sales leadership roles within the high tech space, be that software companies as well as you know, high end medical equipment. So, last five or so years have been in a combination of business intelligence and supply chain management companies. So, joined Quintic here about 8 months ago, and excited to be here. And my role now is to run all the sales and marketing efforts across North America for our workforce business unit.
Great. And, you know, certainly I know this is what, like I said in my opening remarks there, you know, workforce planning is certainly something that's on the radar for a lot of companies and a growing number of companies. You know, what I find is that, you know, depending on the context, you know, the term workforce planning, you know, means different things to different people. So let's start there with kind of a basic question, right? What is workforce planning from a supply chain management perspective?
Well, put really simply, it's getting the most out of your people. So the reason why you do workforce planning is to, you know, primarily to drive efficiencies. In many cases, for a lot of companies, it's around improving their service levels to their customers as well. So we're starting to see it being taken much, much more seriously than it has been in the past, and people are realizing that the human capital element of the whole equation is extremely important to their bottom line as well as their customer-facing service.
You know, certainly there's so much focus, you know, these days, and so much buzz around, you know, talent development, right? And it's around, a lot of the conversation has been around, you know, how do we find the right people? How do we hire them, train them, retain them, right? But I think that the part that's been missing in the conversation is this whole area of workforce planning, right? Then how do you actually effectively leverage them within your operations and schedule them and making sure that the right people with the right skills are in the right, doing the right tasks, so on and so forth. I mean, are you seeing that, the kind of the conversation getting broadened beyond kind of the hiring and training and retaining, that now it's also, okay, how do we actually effectively leverage them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's one thing to have get the right talent in house, but then when you have them, what do you do with them, right? And so any kind of an environment where, especially in environments that we work with, would be companies that have employees that are moving around, I'll say. People who have non-static schedules. So anyone outside of a 9-to-5 schedule is a good target for making sure you have a good plan in place for them. So so we're seeing it across tons of different industries, everything from service industries like airlines and rail to even to manufacturing companies. So if you think about maintenance workers within a manufacturing environment, their schedule could change on a daily basis, if not an hourly basis. So, yeah, it's really quite broad, but there's so many opportunities for it, so much untapped potential out in the marketplace for it right now. It's just a really exciting time to be here.
Right. I mean, I know, you know, putting together my predictions, you know, for this year, you know, one of the reasons that, you know, I made this prediction about workforce planning. Well, one of it was I had the opportunity to attend, you know, a couple of your user conferences last year, and I heard a number of presentations for some of your customers, and that really opened my eyes in terms of, you know, how complex and challenging this is for a lot of companies. And secondly, even if you look at, you know, articles in the Wall Street Journal, and you look at the retail industry, you know, one of the challenges they have around the holiday season is, you know, scheduling, you know, their employees to work, you know, extended holiday hours and things like that. And they're, you know, so you see it in kind of the mainstream media, if you will, business media, and sort of the challenges companies have in that area. You know, when you think about other areas of supply chain planning, you know, you tend to have kind of a long-term, I would say, strategic component to it, right? Where you're thinking about, you know, months in the time frame of months or years in terms of trying to think through things. And then you also have kind of a short-term or nearer-term operational component to it. Is the same true when it comes to workforce planning? Is there a kind of a long-term strategic component to the planning equation, and as well as a near-term operational component to it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think people tend to think of it much more in terms of the short term, like what do I need to get done, you know, this week or today or right now at this very minute, and that's just, it's just easy to get caught up in the moment, right? We all do it. And then I think from a long-term employee planning perspective, you know, anything beyond a year tends to be done, say, in an HR department, and you talked about talent acquisition and planning for growth at a company, or, you know, launching a new product, and hey, we're going to, you know, we're anticipating a 10% growth in sales next year. How are we going to support that? Now, those two different areas of the business, HR and maybe the operations side of the business, if they're working in a siloed environment, running off of different systems, like one's running off an HRIS system, the other's working off of their, you know, their CRM system or their ERP system, and they're planning their people maybe in what we usually see is Excel spreadsheets. There's no correlation there between the long-term plan and what they need on the street day of operations. And so if you're doing your long-term planning and not drilling into the details of seeing how it affects, say, what your operation looks like today, perhaps your long-term planning isn't quite as effective as it could be, and you're setting yourself up for failure. So we absolutely encourage companies to look at, we say, all three time horizons. So the long term, which can be anywhere from, you know, 6 months to 18 months, is how most people use Quintic, to the short term, you know, matter of months down to weeks, down to a day of operations approach. So, and if you have all of that in kind of one holistic system that someone, a planner, can look at and figure out, not just, you know, how does the long term plan affect day of operations, but vice versa. You know, if we make a decision today about doing this thing, how's it really going to affect our costs? Are we impacting overtime? Things like that. So, yeah, it has to all be tied together if you're going to truly maximize the return on your human capital.
Yeah, I like that, the way you kind of broke it up into those kind of three horizons, if you will, or three components to it. I mean, with the companies you talk to, you know, out there in the market, I mean, what do you see as the weakest link for them? Is it that long-term perspective that they're kind of missing or they're not doing enough in that area, or they're missing the tools and systems to do that effectively?
Yeah, I would say the correlation and tie-in and putting it all together is probably the biggest challenge. Now, it depends on which company you talk to, because some companies are excellent at the long term, and then it gets down to the day of operations and the short-term planning, and again, that's being done like on spreadsheets or on someone's desktop, and heaven forbid that person leaves or the file gets corrupted. So, you know, it just depends on who you're really talking to, but I think it's a rare breed that is doing it really well across all those timing horizons.
You know, it's funny to hear. It's funny to hear that Excel is also arguably the dominant tool that's used in workforce planning. I've written and talked about how Excel is probably the most dominant enterprise software tool out there in you know, for transportation management, warehouse management, and it seems like for a lot of companies, it's true in workforce planning as well. You know, so let's talk about, I mean, I kind of already gave a little bit of why I made that predict, my prediction for this year in terms of why I'm seeing it elevated, the importance of workforce planning being elevated this year. I mean, from your perspective, again, out there in the field, talking to different companies, talking to customers, I mean, why do you see, or what are they telling you that workforce planning is you know, becoming more important for them?
Well, quite simply, it's for a lot of the companies that we talk to, most of them on my side of the business, in my business unit, we tend to talk to more service providers than manufacturers. It just happens to be the business unit that I'm in. But it's if you look at anyone's balance sheet, it's probably the largest line item on any balance sheet is your employee costs. You know, so labor costs, your benefits that get layered on top of that. It's a huge driver for any organization, huge cost position that they have to be very cognizant of and aware of. And even little tiny increments and small improvements to how efficient your people are working and how you're scheduling them can have just massive, massive cost savings. And so I think, you know, executives are starting to look at it and go, you know, I mean, it's always been a, you know, how do we get more efficient, right? And everyone always has these big goals for the year, and here we are getting started in the new year and, you know, laying down goals, and, you know, your department has to have a 10% efficiency gain this year. And, you know, department directors are scrambling trying to figure out how am I going to get 10% efficiency while we're growing. You know, so it's actually a pretty easy thing to do when you start to plug the numbers in and you see how you're scheduling your people and figuring out, you know, what is our utilization rate right now for our service techs out in the field? Are they on average, you know, 2 hours a day sitting in their truck waiting for a work order or a task to come in for them? Or are we sending people to one location and they're crossing right over a tech, you know, in that path because we just didn't have the visibility into where people were at that particular time? So there's a lot of, I mean, we look at it as being pretty easy once you plug it all into the system and take a look at it from a, you know, forest for the trees type of approach. But I think when you're down in the weeds, it's really, really difficult to make that correlation. So again, the cost driver is probably the biggest reason why people are waking up and saying, we have to do something, and, you know, we have to do something today.
Now how about, you know, things like, you know, particularly in those workforces that might be unionized, right? So there's all sorts of union or labor-related regulations or agreements that have to be taken into account as part of how they plan and schedule. Is that another component of it as well, kind of labor regulations and kind of the things that are negotiated as part of labor agreements?
Yeah. So one of the biggest challenges that the companies face are all those requirements that they have to plan around. So requirements can include, obviously, in any kind of unionized environment, all the labor rules that have to be in place. Sometimes there's regulatory rules that they have to follow around, you know, an employee can only be, you know, driving a truck for X number of hours per day, flying an airplane a certain amount of time per day. You know, those are safety regulations and put in place for good reason. So there's those things, but you also have things like skill sets. So this particular driver can only drive this type of truck, or this particular type of pilot can only fly this type of plane until they have X number of hours of training. There's those things that get put into place. There's you know, employee preferences. That's another big driver too, because a big thing is attrition rates. And how do we keep people happy? How do we keep our employees engaged and happy and not looking elsewhere? And so employee preferences, we're seeing a lot of our clients incorporating employee preferences into their scheduling process. And so allowing their employees to do things like you know, put in their work requests right to their planning system and be able to look at vacation times and sick times and other things like that, as well as, you know, seniority levels. So the most senior person gets to bid on a particular job first. So there can be just infinite number of rules and regulations. And one of the things we do at Quintic is especially as we're setting up the implementation, is to make sure that there's 100% fit to all those different business rules. And if it can't be done, then we're not gonna engage in the project. But we've yet to see that happen. So fortunately, our software has been able to incorporate those hundreds of business rules so that they can truly have something that is compliant, that is meeting all the regulations that you need, but also incorporating employee preferences. So at the end of the day, the employees are happy with the outcome of their schedules and their plans.
That's a great point in terms of being able to incorporate the employee preferences. I mean, obviously that plays a key role in retention, which is something that a lot of companies are very focused on, right? Because it's one thing to hire an employee, but it's another thing to then retain them, and being able to incorporate that into their workforce planning. Their preferences, I think, is critically important. And I think when you just talked, as you were talking, it just made me realize again, how difficult it is to do this in a spreadsheet when you're thinking about all these different constraints and rules and things that you have to take into consideration, right? If you try to do it manually or try to do it on a spreadsheet, you're going to miss some of those things, or you're not going to be able to, do it as effectively, by doing it, manually.
We often find a lot of the work rules and all the needed items are in the planner's heads. Who's our best planner? Let's go talk to them. Oh, yeah, train the other planners, and these are the things you need to incorporate. We can't do it in our tool that we're using right now, be it a spreadsheet or some other, simple off-the-shelf solution. But, it's that inherent knowledge can't be trapped in someone's head. Not anymore, anyway.
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, some folks may view that as job security, right? But at the end of the day, it's important for the good of the company and the good of everyone, really, for that knowledge to be systematized in some ways, right? Obviously, again, you work with a lot of companies in this area. I mean, when you look at the companies that are doing it right, certainly I heard some great case studies at your user conference. I mean, what are some of the things that they're doing to improve their workforce planning capabilities, and what lessons can other companies learn from them?
Yeah, so I think we touched on a little earlier around planning across all different time horizons. Looking at KLM Airlines that we work with, and what they're using workforce planning for is primarily for pilot training and pilot transitions during that training, and incorporates back into their schedule for who can fly when. And it's a really big driver for the airlines and their costs, and making sure that they have the right pilots scheduled for the right flights and that kind of thing. So that's one situation where they're doing that. We have another airline, so same industry, but they're using Quintic to make sure that they have the most efficient process for handling all the ground handling stuff. So moving of bags, scheduling at the gates. So they want to make sure that they're supporting their customers as well as they possibly can, and getting them through that process. So at the end of it, the customers aren't frustrated with the airline for how their bags are being handled. And we sort of take some of that for granted, right? But done really well, can build a lot of brand loyalty as well. And then other industries like utilities and telecommunications, where you have a lot of field service workers, and what they're doing, what we're seeing customers do in that space, is they're doing the planning not just for their workforce, for their field techs who are out running around every day, but also for the vehicles, and also for the routes that they're planning as well, and the equipment and the parts, very important factors to consider, because in a field service environment, and things like first-time fix rates are big metrics that they have to be measured on, and meeting SLAs, and at the end of the day, having a really good net promoter score that they can pitch out to the marketplace. So being able to tie in the planning for the equipment, the parts, the people, the vehicles, having it all in one holistic system where you can make sure that, if any one part of those four is missing, you're going to fail in terms of that. In terms of that task or that job that employee is being asked to do. So we see it, workforce planning being done a lot of different ways across a lot of different industries. So it's really based upon, what are your goals for your company? What are you trying to accomplish this year? What are the key drivers that you need to improve upon, and figuring out a way to make the best plan to achieve that goal?
They're great examples there. And certainly the service parts piece is one that I've looked at in the past as well, because you're absolutely right. I mean, I think that a lot of times there's a lot of focus on, the routing of the truck, right? And making sure that the truck arrives, with the part to repair that whatever it needs to get repaired. But a lot of times that service technician's coming, separately, and being able to align the two together and align the skills and the capabilities of that technician with the part and the job that needs to be done, and making sure that they arrive there on time, right, is so important. And again, we take it for granted as consumers, when we call someone to come in and repair our fridge or whatever, and really understanding everything that has to take place behind the scenes to make that an effective customer experience, it's pretty cool.
You think behind every vehicle is a driver, right? So if you're missing that workforce component, you're missing a piece of the equation.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's talk about, some of the challenges. I mean, obviously, I'm sure that there are some challenges either, to get started or that companies have to overcome in order to, effectively deploy this. I mean, what are some of the challenges that companies typically run into when they're trying to kind of improve their workforce planning capabilities, and how do they overcome them?
Yeah. I think probably the biggest one is probably just the standard fear of change. Anytime you're changing from a comfortable environment, maybe comfortable, but it's probably not efficient, and that's why they're changing. So I think change management is probably the biggest piece of it. So there's change in maybe the type of software that they're using. If they're using Quintiq now versus, say, a spreadsheets or some off-the-shelf thing. But there's also the process change. So in some situations, companies find that we're talking to one organization right now that's considering going from kind of a fixed route of scheduling of vehicles to being more of a dynamic routing system. And they never were able to do that before. But now that they have that capability, it's, well, what does that mean for, is it going to be how much of a gain is that going to be for our business? How much efficiencies are we going to have? And how's it really going to work? And so one of the big parts of our implementations is making sure our customers are really comfortable with those changes, and they're done incrementally throughout the process so that it isn't just a big bang. It can be done in phases over time to make sure that they're comfortable with that, that the planners are comfortable with it, the people being scheduled are comfortable with it, because now maybe the people being scheduled maybe now are getting their schedules on their iPad or on their iPhone, instead of being sent an email or getting a phone call or having to log on to some system. So there's just little things around that, and I think the better you can help prepare people for change, and now that we've done this so many times, I think we've seen just about every example of where it can go wrong and how to fix that for the future. So walking customers through that and making them comfortable that this change it really is for the better. I think once people are running in the new environment for a few months' time, they look back and think, how are we ever doing it the way we were doing it in the past? It's scary.
Yeah, no, I that's so true. I mean, certainly change management, I think, is one of those common, obstacles and things that companies have to get over. The other thing that I always see as another challenge is just the collecting the data, the knowledge, the information to kind of set up. I mean, do you see that as well, as kind of what in terms of a deployment, kind of the data collection, making sure it's accurate, making sure it's in the right format, making sure that the system is configured, representing those work rules, for example, or skill sets adequately, so that when you kind of hit go, if you will, it's not the garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah, that's a big piece of it. And so while the data formatting is not really an issue for us, it's more about what are all those key data sources you might be able to pull from. And I think sometimes it's systems that they never had to pull from before for planning. And now that they're able to do it, they're able to gain a whole new window into things like employee vacations and things like that, rather than having to call an employee and figure out, are you going to be available next week? That's one piece of it is incorporating all those different data elements across the enterprise, because we have some customers that are plugging in, like I said, HR data, Salesforce data, obviously from the ERP system for orders, and so it's all across the enterprise. So that's one piece of it. The other piece you mentioned too was around all the business rules that need to be configured. There can be hundreds of business rules that need to be configured in order to create what we consider to be a truly optimized plan. And so to really squeeze every little stitch of efficiency out of a project, you want to make sure to have all those business rules in place that you're not violating any key rules and you are driving your KPIs for your business in the most effective manner. Because no one buys software anymore because it's cool, because it looks neat or it'd be fun to play with. No, it's enterprise-level software. You buy it to have business impact and business results. And so I think making sure that whatever they get at the end of the implementation is really driving those business results, and being able to measure it against a benchmark of where they were at the beginning is critical, and it can be very, very eye-opening when someone has that comfort level that, hey, we made the right decision, thankfully.
Well, you just with that last comment kind of leads me to my next question, which is, you know, how do you measure, you know, the value and benefits of workforce planning? I mean, in other words, you know, if you were in the elevator with the CEO and CFO of one of your prospective customers, I mean, how would you, you know, communicate the value and benefits to get their support to invest in this area?
Yeah, I mean, I look at it, again, you probably heard this in the talk track a little bit from me already, but one of the reasons I was so excited about coming here is when I first saw the software and I saw what it was able to do, and I saw some of the KPIs reflected in the results and saying, wow, by just making that one little incremental change, you just reduced overtime costs by 10%, which equated to, you know, $7.6 million off of a couple clicks of a button. You know, those are pretty simple metrics to be able to justify a project. That's one piece of it. But the other piece, too, is also, it depends on who you're talking to. Are you the CEO of a service-driven organization where you're getting beat up in the marketplace right now because, you know, your customer service scores are you know, in fourth place? You know, maybe it's around, you know, meeting service level agreements with your customers, or maybe it's, you know, your first time fix rates, or maybe it's time to complete jobs out in the field. So it really depends on, you know, what are the most important metrics to a business right now, and what are you trying to drive? And that's kind of where I encourage my team to begin the conversation with new prospects, is to ask those questions. You know, why are you talking to us? You're not talking to us just because you want cool software. You know, that's fun for the planners. You know, at the end of the day, what's this going to do for your business? And if we can't really answer that question, then it's probably just a nice, you know, science experiment for someone to play around with some fun optimization software.
Right. I mean, I think ultimately, you know, the objective is always to, you know, tie the value proposition to, you know, obviously for the CEO and CFO, to items in the, you know, balance sheet and P&L, but also to, you know, their strategic objectives, right, and where they want to take the company over the next year, and then obviously over the next 5 years. And in this case, you know, what role is the workforce, right, going to play in enabling to achieve those strategic objectives? You know, Doug, we're running out of, you know, time here, kind of. So I'm going to go right to my last question. And, you know, as a way to wrap up, I mean, what questions should, you know, supply chain executives ask themselves to assess if they're a leader or a laggard, you know, in workforce planning, and what actions can they take today to, you know, start moving up that maturity curve?
Sure. I think the first thing I would take a look at, if I was in their shoes, was to say, are we doing our planning on a KPI-based approach? In other words, when we do our plans, are we actually looking at how it impacts our business? Or are we doing the plan simply to meet a basic schedule of need in the market? Are we doing it just to get a product out the door in a certain period of time, or are we doing it to really drive our profitability on that service? So KPI-based planning is probably number one. You know, number two would be, are we doing things across all those time horizons that we talked about? So that we're not doing things in a vacuum in one department and then doing things, thinking about things and planning things separately in another department that's actually on the execution side. You know, it's one thing for everyone to get together in a room one time a year and talk about it. You know, it's another thing to be day in, day out, being able to look at how the upstream and downstream of this process affects both the short term and the long term. And let's see if there's a third one to think about. Probably just when it comes to workforce planning, you know, what are the key goals for your workforce this year? And it may be something like reducing attrition rates. Are we able to measure, you know, the impact of those schedules on anticipated overtime costs and things like that? So, you know, knowing whatever those drivers are for your particular workforce right now, as opposed to, like I said at the beginning, just kind of, you know, scheduling something just to get the job done, as opposed to doing things in the most efficient manner possible. And that kind of jogs my mind to think about, you know, when people are using Quintic and they're building their plans, oftentimes they're using Quintic so it can run through tens of thousands of what-if scenarios, you know, to help them come up with the most optimal plan. And whether they use that plan is up to the planner at the end of the day. But I think, are they using some kind of an optimization technique to really, truly know that they've been through every scenario, that's run through all the different calculations. And it's stuff that just, you know, we as humans can't possibly do on our own. We can make gut feel and intuition decisions all day long, but unless we have the support of something that's able to do that, you know, those millions of calculations, then, you know, perhaps we're leaving money on the table.
No, great words of advice and ideas there. Actually, that one of the ideas you just talked about, I think, probably sets up the topic for a future conversation. And that is, you know, it struck me that, you know, workforce planning, what's happening in workforce planning is similar to what's happening in other areas of supply chain management, where, you know, to do it right, it really has to be transformed from being kind of an ad hoc, once in a while type of exercise to truly becoming a continuous business process. And, you know, it seems to me that that's, you know, there's a lot of food for thought in that area, maybe a topic to bring you back in the program to talk about in a future episode. But like I always say, Doug, at the end of all our episodes here, we always just manage to scratch the surface on these topics. But I think we got the conversation started out well today, you know, getting some of these ideas out and getting people, you know, thinking about workforce planning and, you know, steps that they can take, you know, moving forward to, you know, start moving up the maturity curve here. So I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today.
No, thanks for having me, Adrian. Appreciate it. It was fun.
Great. I want to thank all of you who joined us live today. We didn't get any questions live, but if you do have a question for Doug, you can find this episode on talkinglogistics.com, and you can post a question or a comment there, and I'm sure Doug will be more than happy to respond via that medium. So again, thank you all for joining us, and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.